I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Ollie Davis, not talking as loudly as I would normally because I've got neighbours and I'm at home and I've already been yelling a lot this morning when I record the green screen videos. And I'm joined remotely, live via satellite. He was in the airport, but WWE called him and said, just stay home. It's the self-isolating Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, from my studio apartment. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm a bit sleepy. I went for a stroll, a kind of a legal stroll, because it wasn't actually exercise.
And it's only your one stroll that you're allowed per day.
Yeah, I got one stroll. We laid down in the park for a bit. It's wonderfully quiet outside.
It's scheduled for one stroll.
Yes. So I just spent about an hour at lunchtime laying in the park with the sun on my face. I can think of worse things to do on a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's not bad. I went for a walk around my block, just did two whole laps after I had some lunch, watched some Parks and Recreation. Self-isolation is treating me a-okay currently, 2 days in, although we are now officially in countrywide lockdown.
Well, come on. We get one stroll a day. That is not lockdown.
It's not an official, it's not a full lockdown. No, I suppose not.
So we were in the park and these two fluorescent people turned up, two fluorescent men. Yeah, and they're on bikes and they just started cycling around. Not telling anyone to move, but you know, they were police officers. So we got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, because they sound like they're ready to, like, you know, throw down some order.
Yeah.
And make people return to their domiciles.
It was like, how many times have you exercised today, sir? Like, this is my... Do you count the pull-ups I've been doing on my door frame?
Because hello, humble brag.
I'm trying to do a pull-ups on the hour every hour. Because that's the only bit of exercise equipment, really, that has any kind of resistance in our house. And I always start off well in the morning when I'm writing the news. It's my little mid-news break. And then I just stop and get lazy and drink tea. And Anna's making a lot of cake, so I'll then eat some cake.
Oh.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Well, we're doing yoga of a morning together, me and my wife. Although we didn't this morning because I got up to watch Raw instead. Because, like, for whatever reason, despite the fact that I don't need to be up at 6, really, to watch Raw, because I don't have, like, the hour-long commute into the office. But yet, I still got up at the same time I normally would to watch Raw. So, I don't know whether I still need to, like, work out how my, you know, Tuesdays work from now on. But I got up, And did not do any yoga this morning. So we're going to try and do double yoga tomorrow. But I've also got an app that's got some like stretches and muscle type things that are 10 minutes in length because I've got such a short attention span for exercise. Like, we were doing half hour yogas. Yeah, we were doing half hour yogas. They felt a bit long. It's a bit long.
I think it's good to have structure, though. If you're waking up at that same time, that's good for you. And you should be doing yoga while watching Raw anyway.
I've got to take my notes.
Well, I think I believe it's called the sort of angry cat. So if you could get in an angry or a happy cat position, you could still have the keyboard on the ground and you could type away.
I think you mean like Cobra and things like
Cobra
that. Like
probably works as well.
That'd be very difficult to type notes because you're trying to use your forearms to sort of like balance yourself and then try and type. But, you know, I've got to concentrate. I've got to pick up on all of the great commentary from Todd Phillips and Byron Saxton.
And watching them tiptoe around ever mentioning the biggest news story in the history of mankind. Why can't they just say it?
Because, dude, it's WrestleMania. It's too big for one night. Like, that's the reason why it's being held at the Performance Center.
Well, you'll be happy to know, have mastered sloth. The sloth position of yoga. Mm-hmm. And it's where I drape myself over the settee and watch Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, you got Disney Plus now.
I haven't actually fired it up yet. But that's what the ancient yogis had in their minds when they came up with yoga.
Fair enough. I think that sounds pretty good. My PlayStation, I discovered today, just installed Disney Plus automatically. Like, I didn't even have to like select it as an app. It just downloaded it for me. So now I'm just getting lots of advertisements for like, hey, do you know what's on Disney Plus? All these shows you like, all those Disney afternoon classics that you loved.
Bob Iger delivered us bread this morning. That their marketing campaign is insane to get people to download Disney Plus.
Right, well, should we get on into the show itself? Because we have got some questions that need to be asked, like, did Cedric Alexander get knocked out on Raw? And what the heckins is a boneyard match? Here is the show.
Was Cedric Alexander knocked out on last night's episode of Raw? This was in a tag match between Angel Garza and Andrade, who will be fighting for the Street Profits' Raw Tag Team Championships at WrestleMania. Really cool match. It's come out of nowhere, but I don't really care because I'm bloody excited for it. And Cedric Alexander was tagging with Ricochet in kind of, I guess, a support group thing for people who have been abandoned by Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I've called them Team Failed Push.
Yeah, because of course both men reportedly big Paul Heyman favourites. They were getting main event pushes. Ricochet fought for the WWE Championship last month. Remember
that? Yeah, not that long ago. Yeah, just a handful of weeks ago.
I've lived 20 months in the few weeks since then. And
it's been a crazy few weeks.
Yeah, but Cedric Alexander hasn't really been around at all, apart from losing to Riddick Moss in the 24/7 title scene. Ricochet also has sort of seen himself drop from the highs of the Saudi Arabia main event to being on the main event show for jobbers and enhancement talent and undercard folks.
Yes, but not this the match main was really, event.
Really good. This was a really good match, despite no crowd. And it ended kind of weirdly. Andrade missed a kick on purpose because Cedric kind of countered it. And Andrade followed that up with a spinning elbow, which, as we all know, even if it isn't your finisher, it is the most devastating move in sports entertainment. He hit a Judas effect.
No one kicks out. No one kicks out of the Judas effect.
He hit Chris Jericho's Judas effect. I certainly believe that was meant to be a transitional or setup move for his actual finisher, the Hammerlock DDT. But Cedric Alexander just crumpled, and Andrade gets down there. The referee counts 1, 2, and then his hand comes down for a third, but it makes no noise. Because I assume the referee was waiting for a kick out, and he was sort of doing that last minute thing. But then he thought, wow, okay, he's not kicking out. and he counted a four with an actual sound. So technically it was a four count for the referee. And yes. Yeah, that's what happened.
And Cedric actually kicked out on the three because, like, so the ref went one, two, went to do the three, stopped, and then did the three, and Cedric kicked out on the third one. So there is a possibility that Cedric just took a nasty hit and just, you know, for a brief moment just got sort of knocked out, not knocked out cold, because when he got hit, he, like, Shawn Michaels himself around the ring, like, versus Hulk Hogan, and just sort of, like, massively went all over the show. And then it was the pin that was a bit weird. So, yeah, I don't know if there has been a report as to whether or not Cedric did get knocked out, or whether he did get hurt, whether he suffered anything worse than that. But yeah, it was a really, really bizarre finish to the match, because, as you say, like, people weren't expecting, you know, they're not usually expecting the Judas elbow, at least from Andrade, to finish off a match. But there was also, like, when he got hit, I shouldn't laugh really, because, you know, he might have been seriously hurt. But when he got hit, this massive load of phlegm came out of his mouth, like, really, like, shot up into the air. And they did the big slow-mo replay of it to show just how much phlegm there was and just how much stiff connection Andrade got on that elbow.
Yeah, shades of Xavier Woods in TNA when he just chunked up a load of vomit when he was hit. I'm just going to put this out there. Is everyone okay? Everyone can see us okay?
Yeah. Everyone can see us fine. Everyone's saying your connection's not great, but everyone is saying that it's okay. Everything's running fine.
Mine looks fine on my end. I think the government are stealing my internets because they need it for their own devious plans of fabricating worldwide pandemics. Anyway, so we'll talk about the actual details of that match later. The other thing to discuss is, what the hell's a boneyard match? Let's do some fantasy booking.
Well, okay, so AJ Styles, in his promo against The Undertaker, and good lord, did this have a lot of recaps, because, like, they had a moment where they sort of said, hey, AJ is coming out later on tonight. Then they had a recap of the Undertaker-AJ feud. Then it was an ad break. Then there was another recap of the AJ-Undertaker feud that said all the same things the other two had said. Then AJ came out for a promo where he recapped the Undertaker feud. And by that point, I was like, oof, I'm done with this. But he said that he is going to, bury the Undertaker's career. He wants the dead man in action. Like, he doesn't want this guy who's wrestling in his slacks. He doesn't want this Mark Calloway fella. He wants the Undertaker. He wants the dead man. And then he says he wants a boneyard match. It's the Undertaker's favorite match. I'm going to bury the Undertaker. And then for the rest of the night, Todd Phillips and Byron Saxton were like, what the hell is a boneyard match? So I wonder if we're going to get another big pre-taped segment reportedly we're going to get for the Cena Wyatt match. Apparently we're getting, like, another House of Horrors type match there. I wonder if we're going to get the same thing for AJ Undertaker, and they'll just do, like, this sort of filmed fight sequence in a graveyard to perhaps, you know, cover up the cracks in the Undertaker's quite weak state, you know, because he's not the Undertaker of old. He's not the Undertaker of 10, 20 years ago. He's the Undertaker of 2020 that, you know, had to chokeslam AJ Styles wearing a hat because it was almost too much for him to take the hat off and do the chokeslam. So maybe this is being done as a way to kind of, like, cover up the cracks that the match might have had otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. Because Undertaker, a lot of the appeal on these big matches is the crowd reaction. It's the entrance. It's the fans going wild when he does his shtick in the ring. Not so much old school. I don't think he can get up there with those hips. But just the usual play in the hit spots. So to have that in front of no fans, and I think that's what WWE's really realised over the last week. Damn, without our fancy production, our big arenas, and all those people in the crowd, we're quite exposed as a product. So yeah, they focused on in-ring wrestling, like we saw with Drew Gulak and Daniel Bryan, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. That was the match, wasn't it? And here, they are only letting their best in-ring wrestlers, you know, sort of intercontinental title wrestlers, wrestle these long matches on Raw or SmackDown. And a very NXT style. And for everyone else, they're giving promos to, which is really wise. It's the best thing to do. And hopefully it sort of hard resets WWE as a product in general, even after we're hopefully through all of this Steve Corino stuff. But
yeah, because that Garza Andrade versus Ricochet Alexander match, as you said earlier, was a really, really good match. Yeah. Really, really liked it.
But the Boneyard match, I'm glad that the commentators did start to say, we don't know what this is either. Because when AJ said it, you know, the way he set it up, Undertaker's favourite match, it's like, oh, is this an obscure thing from 94 that I missed? Did he wrestle IRS or something in a Boneyard match?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I think it is going to be a pre-tape thing akin to a House of Horrors match. Kind of like a movie.
Yeah.
But I've got to believe some form of Buried Alive gimmick is going to happen as well. A coffin.
I think that's what we're going to get, yeah. And it's unfortunate as well because we've opened up our WrestleMania predictions for Wrestle League because, you know, there's worry that the results might get leaked. So we've kind of put it up now and we will close it off as soon as like any sort of spoilers start to get out. I've gone for AJ to win this match. But if it is, you know, is this going to be Taker's last match in the US? Obviously, he'll have all the Saudi matches and stuff. But, you know, how many more matches can the man have? At least here we are kind of setting up this idea that this could be the Undertaker's final outing. And what better way to, you know, get rid of the dead man, retire that character, than to bury him alive? You know, bury him out in a graveyard.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, AJ's winning.
Well, that's what I've got. I've got AJ to win. And I hope that AJ wins, because what does The Undertaker get from beating AJ Styles twice? You know, Taker's already beaten him once, let's not forget. Oh, so
did I just say AJ wins? I actually meant AJ loses. What I meant was AJ goes in the burial spot, the literal burial.
I've got to think that AJ's getting the win here. But I think this might be a smart move. And actually, like what we saw on SmackDown with the Miz and Morrison segment, when they sort of like they had, hey, who's going to be our challengers for WrestleMania? And then they cut to Miz and Morrison in the crowd dressed up as the New Day and Miz and Morrison in the crowd dressed up as the Usos. I think what WWE have started to realize is that you can do more of this kind of pre-taped stuff and kind of play with the wrestling format to do something like the Wyatt Cena House of Horrors that's been reported, and, you know, a Boneyard match where, you know, AJ can literally bury The Undertaker. I think what would be great as well, like, I'm thinking cinematically here. So AJ, like, throws him in, Gallows and Anderson join in, and they all start shoveling, you know, soil onto him, right? And then they all walk away, they hold victorious, the referee says AJ is the winner, and then it just pans down. Hand pops out the grounds, and that's like the final that's the final image as they go away, and you see AJ walking off in the background, sort of out of focus.
I saw someone fantasy book like Kane could get involved or other people because it's that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's a great idea, kind of like an Ultimate Deletion style thing, but at the same time the whole point is to stop people being together right now. You can't just wheeling Kane. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shall we see what the Super Chats are saying?
Indeed.
So William Gomez on the Boneyard match stip just says Taker needs to leave the WWE. Yeah?
Taker just needs to leave WWE.
Well, I think he means retire in general. I don't think he wants him to have, matches over in AEW or New Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that we are likely going to see kind of the Undertaker. Because the report was, if I remember correctly, that Taker sort of handpicked AJ because he does see him as the next Shawn Michaels, right? So maybe this could just be Undertaker looking to have his last match. I don't know. And then just, retire until the sort of Saudi money rolls in and he's got to go and do the Saudi shows.
I don't think so. I think he sees this as the new normal. Every year, I'll find a talented worker to do most of the work in the match. And I'll have my WrestleMania match and I'll have two Saudi shows a year. Pretty sweet gig.
Pretty sweet gig, man.
DJ Chili Phil. Somewhat unrelated, but anyone hear about how they're still having the NXT TakeOver matches, but now on NXT TTV starting on April 1st?
Yeah, so that is the report that WWE are essentially just taping a load of stuff currently. They're taping episodes of Raw, they're taping episodes of SmackDown and NXT and WrestleMania, because we've sort of said it on this show before, we don't know what's going to happen in 7 days. 2 weeks ago, we had people in buildings watching wrestling. The following week, then it was like, oh, we think, it can be limited fan capacity. And it wasn't. It was an empty arena. And now we're in an empty arena again. The UK yesterday announced that effectively we are in a form of lockdown. So who knows what's going to happen in 7 days' time? So the smart play now is just to get a load of stuff in the can while you can. And just start putting that out on TV in place of bringing out people every single week.
Yeah, or just do all the feuds like this. With a slightly laggy internet connection. Sean Turner, if the Cena match is pre-recorded, wouldn't it be awesome if they had Mortal Kombat entrances? Also, I would like some CGI effects, but that might be a bit too much.
Oh, I could definitely see them doing a lot of stuff like, Bray Wyatt's in one sequence and then The Fiend is in the next. And sort of like, so Cena is like chasing the Bray Wyatt around a house, but The Fiend keeps stopping him. And yeah, I could definitely see, I think they will do a literal Firefly Funhouse match and it will be in this sort of like, this might be, I'm not sure if you have seen this, but you've seen the Twilight Zone movie. The Joe Dante segment he did on that when he did It's a Wonderful Life is in this almost like, because it's a kid who can create anything he wants with his mind. And because the kid is sort of like obsessed with cartoons and stuff, he's essentially created this cartoon nightmare place for, the family to live. So I almost could see them doing a literal Firefly Funhouse where Cena just walks around this sort of this nightmarish vision of a cartoon household with The Fiend showing up and beating him up and Bray Wyatt then teasing him and Rambling Rabbit and all this sort of stuff. I think it will be, massively edited. And I think it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, House of Horrors and is the benchmark so far. I think that's easy to say.
And John Cena's definitely winning.
Kay Amal, WrestleMania would be amazing if the pre-taped matches have the same cinematic quality as that Lance Archer promo last week. I mean, that was a really good, well-edited promo, but I don't think it is the style that can sustain a 10, 15-minute match. Really cool 3-minute vignette, but not, you know, not really beyond that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very much agree.
Metal Bear. Missed the Seth promo today. Watched it just before this. How has he become my favourite heel? He was by far everyone's most hated face 6 months ago. Hashtag a lovely time with the boys. Yes,
I thought
that is Seth's my favourite thing on the show.
I thought Seth's promo was rad. So, so great. Yeah, loved it. And you're absolutely right. Like, you know, what an amazing turnaround they've had. They've kind of gone with the grain of being like, do you know what? He's not getting the babyface support that he should have. Let's turn that into a character. And what a great character it is. I love it.
Episode actually began with I've got my notes out of order, with the video package from last week, which was where Paul Heyman and Drew McIntyre were kind of saying their sides of the feud argument between Drew and Brock Lesnar. Good stuff, but I've seen it before. And then it opened.
It was the exact same promo, yeah.
Then it opened on Paul Heyman in the ring, crucially, with the hard cam facing the entranceway.
Yeah, and I think this is a really, I think this is a smart change. I think this is a really good change because when you're moving the hard cam to now face like the Titantron in the entrance, it just looks way more like visually impressive and like visually more interesting. It's what AEW did on Wednesday, and I think it's completely the right move.
Did you see Tony Khan's tweet?
Yes, I'm somewhat of a scientist myself.
So Paul Heyman's promo was basically, you know, Brock's going to beat you. But there were some nice lines in there where these run certain times. I've got something certain for you, though. Brock Lesnar wins. So he didn't actually say spoiler, but that's the gist.
Yeah, he said the God's Prayer line is going to be busy, going to be a busy line during that match. So that was a really nice line.
Then we went into the excellent three-way at the Royal Rumble 2015 between Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, and John Cena. I just skipped through it. I didn't watch it all because I've seen it, you know, quite a few times before. But just what a match!
Yeah, didn't we have like a message about this quite recently, like as a Patreon mailbag question or something? Someone saying like it's a real underrated classic. And we were like, yeah, absolutely it is. And yeah, just skipping through it again, it is such a great match. I remember at the time thinking it was like, people were sort of a little bit down on Brock at that time, I remember. Times have really changed. But I was like, this is why Brock is so great. That moment when Brock rises from the table, like underneath, or like Cena and Rollins sort of bury him under stuff, and then Brock just rises out the ground like Godzilla. It's absolutely amazing. Love it.
After that, we got the AJ Styles Undertaker promo. And
before that, we got a recap of The Gronk and his debut on SmackDown, where he's a prick. He's an unlikable douchebag.
Yeah, he's quite an off-putting screen presence. And from everything I've read, that's not the way the Gronk is. Everyone loves the Gronk. He's like a huge NFL star, but I think in WWE's distortion of what they think is fun, they've actually turned him into an unlikable prick, as you said.
Well, from what I've gathered, because me and Pete talked about this on the SmackDown show, talked about how like maybe it's just because we're British and we don't get it, but he seems like an unlikable douchebag. We've had quite a few emails in from people who have said, you know, we don't like him either. But if you're a New England Patriots fan, which I believe is the football team he did a football for,
Washington-based.
That's the one, yeah. Then you're really going to like him because, you know, he won all the Bowls of Super and stuff like that. The Super Bowls of Soup. And so, like, so they like him. But apparently, some other people argue as well that's not really who he is. He just plays a character outside of, like, what he is like in day-to-day life. I just think it's terrible to bring back the hype character of Mojo Rawley because he's literally the worst thing to ever happen to NXT. And now we've just got him twice. And I am not looking forward to all the segments he's going to be involved in at WrestleMania. I really hope it's kept to one segment, to one thing, and it involves Corbin and Elias. That's my hope.
There's a lot of cracks to paper over on that pay-per-view. There's going to be a lot of skits with Gronk.
Oh, no.
I really like Mojo Rawley. I really like his serious badass heel character. I didn't even mind it when he was in the 24/7 title picture. But yeah, they've quietly moved him over to SmackDown. That's official. He's on the SmackDown roster now. They've just rebranded him like the last year didn't happen back into that obnoxious babyface character. And yeah, he's just... ugh. It's a shame because he's so much more.
I'm gonna miss Taserface. I'm gonna miss Taserface Mojo Rawley.
And it's kind of like, you know, I like Natalia, but there was definitely a period where she was only there because Ronda Rousey was her friend. Yeah. And that's what this feels like. Poor Mojo. He's a smart guy. He's not there thinking, well, I'm talented. I'm getting a push off my hard work. No, it's because of who he's friends with. Anyway, after that, we had the AJ Styles promo that we've already touched on. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows are out there just to sort of be impressive. And AJ did the thing that he's been doing the whole feud so far, which is where he just calls Undertaker lame. And I said in my review earlier that this is great material because it's playing on that line of what's real and what's fake, but more what's real. But it's the sort of thing you can't have a heel say to the babyface when I agree with the gist so much. Because all the things that AJ's saying, Undertaker shouldn't be on social media. Undertaker shouldn't be posting little charity videos, which are quite frankly embarrassing, where he's cuddling a tiger and with his wife on a pool. Like, Undertaker's lame now. And
yeah,
the lead heel in this feud is saying, oh, Undertaker's lame. And I'm like, yeah, he is lame. Yeah, okay. I don't want to see this match.
And it's this is why I'm saying AJ's got to win. Because if AJ's cutting all of these promos saying that The Undertaker is lame, The Undertaker's broken down, The Undertaker's rubbish, and then he loses, like, what does that do for AJ? Like, that makes AJ look even more lame, even more rubbish.
Yeah, well, just prepare yourself, is what I'm saying. This is when they just randomly announced on the WrestleMania card, I think it had been done on social media earlier in the day, that we're getting that tag match of Andrade and Garza versus the Street Profits. Match I didn't know I wanted.
No, I know. And I find it frustrating because you're right. It is a match I want to see. I think it's going to be a really awesome match. But you know what? Why don't we have a story and then announce the match, as opposed to announce the match on social media, get to Raw, and then start a story? Because, like, you're just doing things out of order. You could have done it here, that Andrade and Garza teamed up, and they beat Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, and the Street Profits were out in commentary, and then they have a bit of tussle with the Street Profits, and then they come out for the Street Profits match later, do something there, and then you announce the match, or someone lays out a challenge for the match. Maybe Vega says, you know, I want the tag titles, he's going to be the most decorated man, as opposed to some omnipotent president has just said, that's the match that's happening, and then they get to the show and be like, well, I guess we're doing a match, better start a storyline.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. There's no excuse, really. Sure that everything's been thrown up in the air, but at the same time, you've got all of this stuff filming back-to-back, so you should be able to tell a coherent story if you think about it for more than half an hour, really. It's not that difficult. Yeah. I'm not complaining too much. It's weird because I kept on thinking no more matches for WrestleMania. And then they announced this match. I was like, yeah, but I don't mind when it's that match.
I don't mind that match. That's going to be a good match.
And then this went into the tag match between Garza and Andrade against Ricochet and Cedric Alexander. Really good match. Probably would have been even better if it went a minute more or a few moves more to have the actual proper finish, because that did end in some confusion. But yeah, the WWE made a definite concerted effort to make the wrestling more real and more modern, which means it doesn't need as much crowd reaction to fill in those gaps. But they also did some really well-considered camera work, I thought. You had the action in the ring, you had Zelina Vega at ringside, and you had the Street Profits on commentary. And the camera cut between all of those different sort of viewpoints, and it did make it feel a bit more like a movie because of it.
Yeah, completely agree. And it actually felt like it had a bit of atmosphere. Like Asuka being on commentary last week sort of added a lot of color to the to Andrade's match with Rey, the sort of 4 minutes we saw of it. I think this is just like, I really enjoyed this match. And again, it's that we've said it for the last couple of weeks. If you have really good wrestling, you do forget there's no crowd there. You just sort of just get invested into the action that's happening in ring. So yeah, I was a big, big fan of this. I thought it was a home run success.
I thought it was, I got such an NXT vibe from it. And it's a weird mesh of the two, of the roster, the main roster and NXT.
Yeah, well, I mean, all four of them are, you know, former NXT alum.
And very recently, Andrade's been up, what, for a year and a half, I think? But the Street Profits...
2 years, I think, yeah.
Oh, God. And the, but the Street Profits in Gaza, relatively recently, they still feel fresh. And the setting is the Performance Center, which looks a lot like Full Sail, the way it's done up. And then the Street Profits just go straight in to this match with Shane Thorne, which was also pretty
Shane
good
Thorne.
For a squash match.
Formerly of the Mighty Don't Kneel and TM61. It was just the Street Profits beating up these two. It was Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink, I think I got his name down as. They worked over Ford. Dawkins got the hot tag. Big, big frog splash by Ford for the win. But fine stuff.
I think he should call it the Ford splash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you.
Andy Datson's not the only one packing puns. I thought Shane Thorne was really impressive here. He'd hit
his cannonball was wicked. Yeah, it was so good.
It was really good. But Ford as well, as a performer, there's no one there in the crowd, but he's so charismatic, he can play to nothing. He just started yelling at the other wrestlers. There was a moment when he did the exaggerated shh motion before he chopped Thorne, I think it was. And then he pretended to sell it like he hurt himself. Just really good stuff from Ford. And just the way it was all presented, the wrestlers, the setting, just the booking. A slower, more realistic style of stories. I just this felt like it was written more by Triple H and Paul Heyman as opposed to Vince McMahon ripping up a script.
Yes, I agree. We got a recap of Truth winning back the 24/7 championship from Riddick Moss over the weekend. So I guess that's the end of that Riddick Moss storyline, that no one can beat him for the 24/7 title that I think got mentioned once or twice. But anyway, Truth's a champ again. He's like, you know, a 64-time champion or something.
Yeah, of all the things, of all the plans that have been scuppered because of coronavirus, I don't care about this one.
Yeah.
Weirdly, another sort of out-of-nowhere development, they're running through the WrestleMania card, and they're like, Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre, Goldberg and Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley and Aleister Black. And I'm so, what? When did that happen?
Yeah, that again was announced on social media. It was like a couple of hours before Raw started, they announced the tag match and this match. And like, I think the WrestleTalk.com put up as just like two very odd matches have been added to WrestleMania, because these are like rando matches. Yeah, we're getting Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley. Apropos of nothing, we're getting this match.
Have you read the WWE.com article previewing this match? It says in the opening line, they might not have that much history together. Then they just go on from there.
So it has to happen at WrestleMania.
The showcase of the last minute booked feud. Just weird.
It's too big for one night. Too big for one night.
Shayna Baszler then had a sit down promo with Charlie Caruso in the ring. They really made an effort to get the most out of their various setups. So you had a split between people talking in the ring, people talking on the stage, people... When they're talking in the ring here, you know, at the chairs, they had spotlights on Caruso and Baszler, making it look different again, hiding the fact that there's no fans there. Just really smart production tricks that they, you know, should have done from the get-go, but late than never.
Yeah, I thought Baszler had a nice line here, because she wasn't answering any of Charlie's questions, and Charlie looked a bit kind of scared by it. And so Baszler was like, hey, you know, why are you asking me some questions? I'm not going to bite. And then we're like, sorry. I had to get that one in there. And she keeps saying, you know, what can Becky expect at WrestleMania? She's like, she can expect to lose. Charlie did ask stupid questions like, why do you like to destroy? It's like, it's just what I do, and I'm going to destroy Becky at Mania and take her title. And then because of the way they filmed this, and as you said, they just did have it in spotlights and them on the chairs, like literally from out of nowhere, Becky hits Shayna Baszler with this steel chair. Like, Shayna just goes down, like, from this steel chair shot. The lights come up and Becky's standing over her, which I thought was visually very nice. I really, really liked this.
Hmm. Yeah, it was fine. It's weird. They're doing cool things. People are eating people. Becky is driving her own truck. She's toasting Stone Cold Steve Austin. She's emerging from the darkness to attack people with chairs. I just don't feel a goddamn thing between these two.
Well, I think it's because this story has been quite muddled. You know, we talked about this at length of just like they sort of told things out of order. They had Becky be serious one week, then she came out as Conor McGregor the next week, then came back as serious the following week. So like all of that's been really odd. And I think it has meant that this feud has started on the back foot and it's now trying to move forward. And I do think the last couple of weeks, pretty much since the Chamber, it has been going in the right direction. And I have been sort of enjoying the stuff between these two. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with it next week, because likely we'll, you know, we've had Becky cut a promo, we've had Shayna cut a promo, so maybe next week we'll get a you know, a face-to-face promo, a pull-apart brawl that can really add some more fuel to this fire. But I think they're making some steps in the right direction.
Well, speaking of steps in the right direction, they took their first step for Aleister Black. he beat an enhancement talent called Leon Ruff, and he just, yeah, he sort of sat down cross-legged, dodged a move, Black Mass for the win, with the specter of Bobby Lashley in the background. Yeah. But weirdly, I thought Aleister Black in an empty arena worked.
Yeah, I really, so really intense. Liked it, yeah.
Yeah. But,
and I thought Leon's selling of like how scary Black is was really good. It's a kind of a shame that this is leading to a Bobby Lashley match that means absolutely nothing. When you didn't really pay off the Lashley Rusev storyline that was quite hot at one point.
Or the Black Rollins stuff or anything.
Yeah,
really.
You know, yeah.
But of all the things that, it's weird, I'm in a state now, and this next segment was the one that really, really hit it home for me. Not having any fans is making some parts of WWE so, so, so much better. Not like asterisk, oh, it's better, like, despite of the situation. I'm talking like, no, this is genuinely better than what they were doing for the last 15 years. So what we had here, Kevin Owens comes down to the ring, he calls out Seth Rollins, he says, answer my challenge for WrestleMania, and Seth comes out with a microphone, not with his faction, because social distancing, and he walks around the ring while cutting a promo, and then he, you know, gets to the top, and that's it, that's the end of the promo. But my God, the content, the delivery, the fact that there was no crowd to hijack the segment, they're not chanting what, they're not ironically chanting one more time, or probably worst, they're not reacting at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes the pressure off. And it just, what I always forget is that wrestlers are amazing actors with their bodies. And you kind of lose sight of the fact that a lot of them are just very talented actors in general. And Seth Rollins here put on a hell of a good performance.
This was such a great promo. Like, because Owens' promo last week, and what I loved is that this promo was all built off of what Owens said last week. So Owens' promo last week was, I want to have this match in the Performance Center because this is my home turf. Like, this is where I've got the home field advantage because this is where I trained. Seth Rollins didn't train here, but I did. But Rollins comes out and just completely turns that on his head, being like, yeah, no, I, you know, trained in FCW. That was a dirty warehouse. I rebuilt that system just like I'm trying to rebuild Raw. And what you've missed, Kevin, is that there is no Performance Center without me. I'm the reason why this is here, because, you know, we were in dirty warehouses before. Now we've got this because of people like, because of the hard work that I did. You got to prosper from a better training facility. Without me, there is no Gargano. There is no Tommaso Ciampa. There's no Undisputed Era. There's no Women's Revolution without Seth Rollins. And there's no Kevin Owens either. And I thought the content of this promo was so, so good. And then talks about, yeah, it's like, Do you know what? My Mania track record is amazing, but yours is not. Hey, oh, you weren't important enough to even be on the card last year. You remember that? Because Owens didn't even go to the show. Owens was at home last year. I thought this was a fabulous, fabulous promo that gave this, and this feud has been going for quite some time now, but it's added, like, the last couple of weeks have added some really interesting wrinkles to it, and it's one of my most anticipated matches for Mania.
Same. In one promo, Seth Rollins took this from the big schmoz fest, which is always fun, and there's a fun new faction, and the promo works all right, and the matches are always exciting because there's like eight people in there all hitting their finishers for the last 5 minutes of the main event. But really, like, did anyone have, like, get their teeth into Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens? There were so many other factors. Big Show's in there 1 week. Buddy Murphy has this relationship. All good stuff, but actually, when it boils down to it, there's no real great blood feud, singles feud in there. But yeah, in one segment, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens and whoever was in charge of writing this segment with them turned it into this epic history-spanning rivalry between Seth getting in there first. And God, he made... I love it when... We talked about AJ Styles earlier, and the points he made about The Undertaker essentially being true. And I said, that's usually a good thing, but here it's not working. In Seth's case, this is perfection. Because he says all that stuff. And I'm like, I believe you. And you're making me think of things I've never thought of before. Because I always consider CM Punk and Daniel Bryan as the guys who got over in spite of WWE's booking and made WWE change their mindset for what a wrestler can be going forward. I don't think that can be argued with. I think that's quite clear. But they've never been the chosen guys. Punk and Bryan were never pushed as the top guys in the company. Seth was.
Nope.
Seth was the guy that actually got this massive push behind him. And WWE finally decided, yes, wrestlers can look and wrestle like you, ... So I just thought an absolutely tremendous segment. And I'm optimistic that this will show WWE that the way they do promos going forward... Oh, come on, man. Give me something. I only get 1 hour of exercise a day. It makes me optimistic that WWE will keep this approach to promos going forward.
Dude, I love your optimism. Yeah. I genuinely love your optimism. It's one of my favorite things about you, but... I think you're barking up the wrong tree here, lad. If you think, like, once this is all sorted out, we're going back to where we were 4 weeks ago. Like, nothing's going to change.
Well, we'll see. Then we got another replay match, Charlotte versus Asuka for WrestleMania 34. You know, a good match, but a bit of a soul-crushing match at the end, because that's the end of Asuka's streak.
Yeah, I've written here, it's a moment I still can't quite believe happened. I watched that match with Laurie and Simon, and the three of us were just sort of dumbfounded, and I just sort of laughed. I was like, oh, they just beat her. All of that. Mm. And they just beat her. It was very, very weird.
It was a weird
what
mania.
What a weird show that was. Mm. Such a weird mania. That was the first mania that you and I sort of reviewed with me being on full time. And we just went in there because you were in this sort of like delirious phase having just watched it because you didn't watch it live, where you were like, it was the bizarrest WrestleMania I've ever seen in my life. And you were like giddy with excitement because it was so weird.
But this cut to Charlotte backstage with Charlie, and she runs through her accomplishments. She's going to beat Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Yeah. But I think it's I really like this use of big time matches, you know, with big crowds, because it really breaks up the no fans thing over the 3 hours.
I actually thought the content of this promo was really nice as well, because she, you know, as the heel, she's 100% a heel. As the heel, she was like, yeah, I thought that match was inspiring. And she kind of runs down her WrestleMania credentials of being like, you know, I retired the Divas Championship and became the first WWE Women's Champion of the modern era. I beat Asuka, you know, and I ended her streak. I main evented WrestleMania. And you know what? I think Rhea Ripley could learn a thing or two from my matches. Woo. And then just sort of walked away. The woo at the end was cack, but like I thought the rest of the content was actually pretty good.
This is going to be good. This is going to be so good It's too good for one night only, Luke.
It's too big for one night, mate. It's just too big.
There is no other reason we've split this card over two nights.
No, it's too big. The card's too big now.
And the final main event segment was just another excellent promo. Randy Orton comes out. He stays on the stage again, giving some variety to these promo-heavy shows, essentially. And the content of this is great, too. He said how Edge said last week that Randy lacks grit. The grit taught to them, handed over to them by Mick Foley. But then Randy says, well, you know, depends what you mean by grit. Because I see grit as longevity, as being the only constant in that locker room. I don't think grit is staying at home looking up at the ceiling for 9 years. Just a killer line.
Yeah. And I thought this was great.
And what I really liked about this is how Randy set this all up as him having to clarify his earlier remarks. He apologized. He was like, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't make myself clear enough. And then putting the blame on us for misunderstanding his actions. And then still just explaining the same thing. No, I'm trying to kill you because I love you.
Yeah.
Do you not get that?
Yeah, I'm doing it for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was really cool. And again, it played off the promo that Edge did last week, where Edge said, you know, Randy, you only got where you got to because of your last name, which is kind of like, it's a common trope that WWE have done over the years. They've, you know, done it with Charlotte Flair and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, he said, like, you were handed all of your opportunities. I had to work and claw to get my opportunities. And Randy was like, I was handed an opportunity because of my last name, but I wasn't handed those titles that I won in my first year. RKO wasn't handed to me. I made that. And then my favorite part of this sort of killer line is when he said, you know, if Triple H had offered you the position in Evolution, would you have turned it down? Like, that's really, really good, because that is, you've got to imagine, it's like, Edge probably go like, would I have turned it down? I always remember this. So this is way off track, but it's kind of the same thing. They've always talked about how Kane Hodder is like the most famous guy for playing Jason Voorhees. He did it in 7, 8, 9, and 10. But he didn't play Jason in Freddy versus Jason. They got Ken Kersinger in because Ken Kersinger is way, way taller. And Ronnie, you wanted that sort of big and small dynamic. And people have always asked, you know, saying like, it should have been Kane, it should have been Kane, it should have been Kane. And Kane has talked about it, you know, he's like, oh, I wish it could have been me, I wish it could have been me. And I was at a Q&A that he did a few years back where he said, I've said all my piece. I've said everything there is to say about that topic. And someone stood up and said, I don't know if you've been asked this before, but if the roles were reversed, would you have taken the job? If Ken Kersinger had played Jason and then you were offered it, and he was like, wow, I've never considered it from that angle before. Yeah, I would have done. Like, I would have taken that job because I'd have taken the work. And I thought about that with Edge here. It's like, Edge is sitting there being like, oh, you know, you bastard, you were handed all your opportunities. But if that role was reversed, you know, Edge now as a character's got to sit there and be like, phew, actually, yeah, maybe I would have taken that spot. And maybe, and I thought it was a really, really clever line. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I think that's the mark of really, really smartly told, complicated stories with the Randy Orton and Edge feud, and also the Owens-Seth feud that's just like popped out of nowhere really this week. And that's, mm-hmm. It just makes you sort of look at other things in your life and go, oh yeah, it applies to that too. And oh, well, I've never thought about it that way before. Like, how often do you get that with a WWE feud, that it stimulates your mind so much where you start to actually think about it? And that's why I gave this 4 out of 5 stars this episode. And that is not a, you know, because it's a, because of the whole Steve Corino thing. I think this is a genuinely good show, and it's the first great show they've done, and they've adapted very quickly. Really, they've done what, 3 shows, 1-2 SmackDowns and 1 Raw before this one. Last week's Raw was just, you know, Adult Swim doing WWE. This one was a genuinely good studio wrestling show. I really, really, really liked it, and it's an episode that will stick with me for a while.
Me and Pete said this on the SmackDown review, that we thought that, oh, WWE have worked it out now. They've figured out what they need to do with these empty arena shows, and I do think that Raw is now on that similar, you know, plain. It's sort of, they've worked it out. You don't do 4 minutes of wrestling and a load of promos and a load of recaps. You can balance all of that with promos and recaps and archive footage and in-ring wrestling and storytelling. And you can just make a very... Because this show did not... I mean, granted, you know, I skipped over the two archive matches, but it still didn't feel like it was three hour long show. I thought it was a really, really well-structured episode of Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Joey Spade. Boneyard match? Sounds like a pirate ship gimmick. Arr.
Yeah, it could be like a Pirates of the Caribbean sequel that we didn't see.
Skull and
Tales
Crossbones.
Of the Boneyard.
Mm. King Rasta. Well,
Laurie fantasy booked that it was going to take place in front of like the Elephant Boneyard from The Lion King.
King Rasta, a.k.a. Kairi Sane's current boyfriend. Just think about it. Someone is actually blaming Steve Corino for what's going on. Pensive emoji. Are they?
I don't think so.
They better not be. It's not his fault. Moin Kaniv. Cena, it's the Illuminati's fault. Cena versus Wyatt in an abandoned asylum traces back to the original Firefly Funhouse episodes. WWE could make that look awesome. Fan from Australia, Swift Under. Thank you very much.
I agree. I agree, Moin Kaniv. I think it could be really, really fun. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really stoked about the Cena-Wyatt match because I kind of wish it still had the title attached to it. But do you know what, dude? I'm kind of intrigued by it now. I'm kind of excited to see what they... Because I mean, I am one of the few people that liked the House of Horrors match because I thought it was really camp, goofy nonsense. So I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to do this time.
I think, it would be... I don't think they've got the time, unfortunately, to do the full version of this concept. But some version where Cena is trying to find Bray in an abandoned asylum. And, you know, each room maybe picks up something. And it has a flashback to essentially Bray's transition from Wyatt family leader through Broken through to the Fiend. Mm-hmm. And it's like people trying to treat him and stuff. But yeah, I don't see that happening. Sean Turner, God's line is busy. Is a JR line in Kane versus Eric? So that's where that one comes
from. Apparently it's been used before.
Nate drop surname. Screw it, just go full cartoon. Have a Scooby-Doo chase scene in the Hall of Doors. Cena chasing Bray back and forth across the hallway with Rabbit, Abby, Mercy, etc. zigzagging in between.
I love that. Absolutely love it.
Why not?
Dude, we're getting a new Scooby-Doo movie. So, you know, like, try and capitalize on this.
Injection. If it ever gets released. You forgot the ref botch pin and I want your sunshine? No, that was the lead thing we talked about.
We talked about it at length at the start of this show.
Beautiful sunshine today.
It's really nice there, isn't it?
Colostopia, can't wait for a 4-hour mania.
Or 14-hour mania.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, it won't be 14 hours this time. It will be two smaller shows. It'll be two smaller 4-hour shows.
Do you think it will be longer overall? I think we're getting two 4-hour shows.
I think we're getting 2 4-hour shows with 2-hour pre-shows.
So that's a 12-hour show.
Yeah.
That's longer than what it was before.
But it's split across two nights because it's too big for one night, you see.
Zach
so now
Icon,
they split it across two
Zach
nights.
Zach Icon Lindner. I don't mind these rando matches. It's a payday.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like WrestleMania. Like, just randomly announcing Aleister Black versus Bobby Lashley doesn't really have that WrestleMania feel to it.
No, totally agree. Plus, I hate that argument where it's a payday, get everyone on the card. No, make the best thing for me. I'm the fan. I am entitled, and I think I have a right to be. Zach Icon Lindner, again, they should call it No Fans Monday Night Raw. We'll be in touch with our lawyers. Matthew Robinson, WWE should do matches now, but do WrestleMania later by itself, maybe between SummerSlam and Survivor Series.
I think that ship has sailed, pun intended. I think we're just getting WrestleMania with no fans. Mm-hmm. I think it's just going to be a different WrestleMania to how we've seen it previously.
But you're right, Matthew. I think people are going to look back on this, and with hindsight, that's what they should have done. King Rasta, again, glad to see your neck healed up properly, Luke. Rolling on the floor laughing emoji.
I mean, it's no laughing matter. I was very seriously injured. But yeah, you know, we've consulted the doctors. We've talked about this in the last couple of episodes. they advised me to sort of like nut up and shut up and just take the thing off. I didn't really need it. But, you know, I'm soldiering through, and I you know, I'm feeling much better now. I'm sleeping much better. On Wrestle Talk related, A16 Adam Walker said, I hate to tell you, Ollie, but you're not live. No one in the chat is here. Your mind is just unraveling from isolation. Uh-oh.
I have been going a bit crazy.
Ray Benshop, thank you for the content, lad. Stay safe.
Cheers, Ray.
Thank you. Zach is saying Ollie is being absorbed into the Matrix. Yeah, you've been unfortunately quite glitchy at various points. The podcast audio should be very clean, though, because we're recording that separately.
I will look into hardwiring my connection next time. Sorry, folks.
Yeah. Well, what we could do for the AEW review is we'll set it up that you open up this program. We'll talk about this off mic because this is more like back-end stuff. North Strider said, I've been watching every Royal Rumble in chronological order to pass the time in quarantine. What have you guys been up to? What have you been up to, Ollie Davis, apart from all the content you've been making?
Yeah, I've been making a video every day, and they take an enormous amount of time too, so that's been my days. But it's my birthday on Sunday. All my birthday stuff has been cancelled. But I got sent an early birthday present from my mum and dad, which I asked for because I am 32 this Sunday, which means I got a food processor.
Yeah!
Made pesto yesterday. I'm gonna...
Beautiful!
Gonna make some dough tomorrow. What else did we make, Anna? What do we make on Sunday? She's not listening. I don't even know if she's real.
I was going to say, I think she's just trying to ignore you. She doesn't want her voice. Remember when we did I told you that we got engaged and Anna was in she was in the other room and you ran in to tell her. And then she came in and realized the microphone was on and was like, well, I'm not saying anything now. just going to say. Pro wrestling reviews. WrestleTalk is my go-to for wrestling news. What is the video editing software you use? Also, do you think that Dustin Rhodes deserves a world title win?
We use Adobe Premiere. Pretty much exclusively. I think it's the best one as well. After Final Cut Pro shot themselves in the foot and Avid became obsolete. Dustin Rhodes? No, unfortunately not. I love the guy, but I'm also a big believer that not everyone deserves a world title win. In fact, I think the idea of deserving a world title is a misunderstanding of the business.
The Goon. The Goon! WrestleTalk knows how WWE should book it better. Winky face.
Well, on that, next week, on Parts Unknown, Adam the Blompier has been working hard on how Adam would have booked video for WrestleMania 36. And it's too big for just one video. It's two videos.
And lastly, from Jobber JJ 496, Ollie Davis's number one fan trademark. I missed you guys. Thank you so much. 6 heart emojis and 2 thumbs up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, this has been our first actual live stream in this sort of isolation world. So I'm hoping that it's gone okay. I'm hoping that people have enjoyed it. I've got my laptop here and I've got my Mac up there, so I'm kind of operating across multiple systems here. But I think it went okay, mate.
I'm currently balancing my microphone on a copy of Full Metal Alchemist and two Dishoom cookbooks because they're gifts for people. But we can't give them to them.
I've got two mice in front of me to operate the two computers that I'm currently using. Do you want to do... Oh, I'm just using the wrong mouse now to try and end this stream. Do you want to do your usual outro? And we'll get on out of here.
What else you got? Robots in disguise.
Yeah, but that's Ollie, but it's a reissue. You're not a true fan.
Do you want to hear me do the sound effect?
I'd love to. Very nice. So you are going to get us that IDW subscription so that we can all read Transformers comics together, right?
That's not... We can't do extra expenses in the current climate. Okay, right. Okay. But thank you, everyone, all so much. Please go over to Patreon, where we'll have our... I can't put this back in now. Where we'll have our WrestleMania 26 podcast exclusive to Patreon up later. Me and Luke are going to record that now.
Can I just interrupt you there? Sorry, I just was checking out the chat, and there was just a message from John Mel that made me laugh that said, Ollie is very middle class.
Why am I middle class? With my food processor.
And your cookbooks and whatnot.
How dare you? I can't cook. Just like food. What's this over here? Oh, yeah, that's my hazelnut and cocoa nut butter.
I've got a I've got a big model of Jay from Jay and Silent Bob here on desk.
That's cool. We're just getting into show and tell now. I think if you're watching 58 minutes in, this is the sort of content you love. I got this from my friend 2 years ago for my birthday. It's a Thor hammer, but it's totally soft.
It's a meow meow. I've also got a photo of Ollie and I from the YouTube Christmas party of us throwing glitter at each other.
That's a nice one.
A nice photo.
You're going to like this, Luke. I've got a scent diffuser. Which... does eucalyptus?
It's got.
it makes I mean, well, of course, it's got. More.
Of course, it's eucalyptus. What else would it have been?
Yeah. Well, it could have been geranium. Could have been orange. in fact, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been any number of.
What? That was very nice. We had this email in from Austin on the subject of the Gronk, who says, hey guys, not sure if Andy will be back next week or not, but anyways, on to the Gronk. He's a big deal for American football. He's part of the New England Patriots, which seem to win every year. He's one of the best players until he retired. That being said, he's not a beloved American figure. He is loved by Patriots fans, but the Patriots are the team that literally everybody else hates. I'm sure there are soccer teams. There are the same way that people are just tired of hearing and seeing win. I know it's called football in every country, but I don't want to confuse the email by talking about both sports. So just imagine one of the top players in one of those soccer teams that everyone hates except for the fans, according to WWE. That's how Gronk is viewed by Americans. Hope this helps to understand that there are where he stands in the eyes of Americans. That's from Austin.
I think Austin, in trying to work out, like trying to find a succinct, non-confusing way to tell us what's happening, you've made me very confused. You could have just said they're the Roman Reigns of NFL, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
I think that's what he might
Speak
be getting
to me
at.
Like
I
I'm
think
an
that's.
Idiot.
This is coming from Amir, who says, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, and the Wrestle Talk team. Hope you're having a good day. As you may know, there has been a massive Steve Corino outbreak in Iran for more than 2 months. In this period, I've been working 6 days a week from 9 until 8 p.m. without any remote working till our New Year's holiday. Now, after 3 days of the new Iranian year, most of my colleagues and I have been fired from our jobs via a WhatsApp message.
Oh my god!
It's not been an easy couple of months, and by the look of it, it's not going to get any better till at least the summer. In this time, only thing would give me a reason to not give up, be entertained, and put a smile on my face is you guys and your consistently amazing content. Thank you for all your hard work. A member of the SWAF Nation from Iran, Amir."
I'm so sorry about that, Amir. What a douchebag move as well, after all that work you put in beforehand to just let people go on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And this
was
on the same
GIF
sort of subject.
To it?
There was no GIF attached.
WhatsApp message. You know, like that sort of the one where a lady flips all the documents on her desk with the caption, "It's Friday."
Yeah, I'm sure that really would have diffused the situation.
Thing.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that GIF, Luke.
This one comes in from Harry, who says, "Hey, Luke and everyone at Rest Talk, hope everyone is keeping safe in these scary times. As more of the country gets told to self-isolate, unfortunately in my job, I'm in the thick of being a bus driver, and we play a big part in the Northeast, keeping the region moving, all the social works, care workers, supermarket employees who rely on us to get them to where they can to help others. It's getting scary out there. The longer this goes on, the quieter the roads get, and the buses are almost empty, even at peak times. One of the main bus stations I serve is attached to a massive shopping centre, and it's like a ghost town. Newcastle City Centre, Newcastle, is also a ghost town. I've no idea what how safe I am or how long we go until everything is cancelled, but I know it is scary and to take it day by day. I just want to thank you and the Rest Talk crew, because if it weren't for you guys and the amazing and my amazing fiance, I wouldn't be able to get through this. You keep a smile on my face and distract me from the horrors of the outside world. Love and well wishes from Harry.
Oh, Harry. Is that the same chap? I mean, I don't know how many Geordie bus drivers listen to this show, but the guy who transported the WWE roster from a plane, right?
That's correct.
Harry, yes. Iverson?
Yes, that's
what
correct.
What a memory. But yeah, that one of the best Rusev Hayes of all time from Harry. But yeah, well done, man, for herding those people around. I think we're really going to see a shift in thinking of, you know, when you think of service people, you tend to think of people on the front line of wars. But hopefully after this, it won't just include them. It'll be like, you know, people in shops and people in the health service. And of course, people who are still working today, like bus drivers.
We'll have this last email here from David De La Cruz, who says, "Hello, Luke and Ollie. I just wanted to share my Wrestle Talk Get Better." Oh, hey. Last week, Ollie mentioned about the fasting he did and talked about the keto diet. I started doing keto back in August, and it really helped me a lot, giving up a lot of carbs and eating more protein, meat, veggies, and cheeses. My goal of getting better started around 2017 because I was at my heaviest of 249 pounds. I started by eating less, and it helped, and I lost 20 pounds, but then gave up and went back to my old eating habits until I saw a picture of how I looked and started doing the keto diet. It was very hard at first because of the self-control you need to have, and the results were great. Currently, I'm at 210 pounds now, and I can wear clothes and suits I haven't been able to wear in years. Also, I'm able to wear my wedding ring again. My goal is to get to 195 pounds. I'm getting there, but it's a little hard because I work nights 10:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. So working out and exercising is harder to do with my work schedule and being the father of three wonderful kids. I've included pictures of my progress and changes. Thank you so much for the content you guys put on the podcast. Helps me as I work on doing patrolling during the quiet nights. Well, thank you very much, David. Unfortunately, I can't show the pictures to Ollie because of where we currently are, but I'm looking through them and you have made some incredible progress, mate.
I can visualize the progress. That's 30 pounds. You are, and this must be annoying and frustrating for you, 5 pounds off of competing on 205 Live. Until Vince McMahon can officially considers you too small to push in the main event scene. Isn't that the dream? Yeah. To be a cruiserweight?
Yeah, man, I'm sure it's what, what's his face? God, that was Jordan Devlin. Finn I'm Balor. Sure it's what he really yeah. wanted. Is he the cruiserweight champion? I don't know who the cruiserweight champion
possibly.
Is anymore. Yeah. Right, but we'll bring it to a close there, mate, because you and I have still got more work to be done around these here parts. But thank you all so much for listening, and thank you for sticking with us during these times. As we talked about in the show, we're going to be releasing more of our Patreon content out into the free feed every Monday, so make sure you stay subscribed for all of that goodness. And yeah, we will see you on Thursday for the AEW review. There might even be an NXT review this week, but we are making a call on that on the day. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.